Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bare Roots. Or if you haven't listened to us, welcome to Bare Roots. Today, we're doing a timely episode, and it's all about Deflategate. We're kind of doing a little bit of a sports conspiracy. My heart is very excited about it. And the reason why is because this time when you are listening to the podcast episode, it's Super Bowl season. So we wanted to do something that was related to the time period that we are in right now. But before we dive in, Shannon, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am less excited about the Sporty Spice episode. Like, the sports episodes are Alina's episodes compared to my like spooky episodes, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Like, I really have to...
You got to give me a couple.
Yeah, I have to dig through it. I have to like buckle down. But I obviously knew Deflategate, but I didn't know the, like, all of the inner working timeline situations. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you were intimate with it, Alina.
You know, it's funny because I feel like at the time, I wasn't a Sporty Spice. Like, I knew of it, but I didn't really have any opinions about it. A lot of people just called, like, the Patriots, oh, they're cheaters. And, you know, this was definitely an evidence or, you know, a standing, what's the word? Not standing evidence, but cornerstone in the argument of like why New England sucks and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't until recently where I took a, you know, a deep dive into the situation, and there's some interesting call outs in the story.
Yeah. Do you have Super Bowl plans?
Ooh, I do not have Super Bowl plans, but it would be interesting to see if my prediction is right for who's going into the Super Bowl.
Ooh, what's your prediction?
So I think the 49ers are going to go in, San Francisco 49ers, and I was going to say the Buffalo Bills were going to go into the Super Bowl, but they just got out. So yeah. Now that they're not, I think it could be the Bengals.
Okay.
Cincinnati Bengals, yeah. Even though Kansas City is really good. So it's just honestly two top tier teams like I could genuinely see like going in and are very well deserved. But if I had to say like one just edged out, I think it would be the Bengals.
Yeah, I was rooting for the Bills, of course. Mm-hmm. And like if they ever needed a year to go to the Super Bowl, this would be the year.
This would be the year
for like morale.
Yes.
So I was bummed. I didn't watch the game, but I was like, I kept checking my phone to see what the score was. And so I was sad when they didn't get it.
I would have loved to see them in a Super Bowl. And you're exactly right. I kind of thought that's why they would go to the Super Bowl, because they just had so much drive, I feel like, with everything that happened. So I don't know. I just feel like sometimes when a tragedy happens, the team just comes together even more and pushes even harder. So it was very sad to see them get knocked out.
Yeah. So now I probably won't even watch the Super Bowl. Who's the performer?
Rihanna.
Oh, okay. That's intriguing.
Which is a big deal because she hasn't done anything music related in a very, very long time. Like, she doesn't even have new music out. So the fact that she is doing a Super Bowl performance is kind of crazy, because normally when the performers go out, they're promoting like a new album or whatnot. But
isn't she having music come out, or no? There's nothing on the horizon?
See, that's the thing. People are saying maybe she is going to come out with something, because why would she be doing the Super Bowl? I don't know if it's one of those accomplishments she wants to do, so she's just throwing out old music. Mm-hmm. Or is she going to surprise us with a new album and then give us a taste of a new song? Although it's the Super Bowl, and like, I don't know. I just feel like, not that putting out new music is bad, I just think that you want to hear the songs that you know at a Super Bowl halftime performance. So we'll see. But the newest song she's dropped was for the movie Wakanda.
Yeah, the Black Panther one. I just looked it up.
Yes. So thank you. The Black Panther. But that's like not to say it's not her song, but it's like, okay, but that's,
yeah, it's a soundtrack.
Movie, yeah. Not necessarily a new album. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, well, we shall see. But first, after that tangent, but it was on topic, but tangent.
Yeah.
Let's get into Deflategate. So what is Deflategate? It's the allegation that Tom Brady ordered the deliberate deflation of footballs that were used in the Patriots' victory. Now, this was in January of 2015 at the AFC Championship game between the Colts and the New England Patriots. And this was like a blowout game. Mm-hmm. The Patriots won 45-7. And of course, the AFC Championship determines who goes to the Super Bowl. So this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it all seemed good until a play during the second quarter of the game. And that was when there was an interception made by the Colts linebacker. And he caught Tom Brady's pass and he thought something was a little off. And he brought the equipment to the officials and they started to have suspicions. 11 out of the 12 Patriot balls were underinflated by 2 pounds per square inch, which is kind of a lot. Allegedly, deflating the ball gives a quarterback an easier grip, which would help on a rainy game day, which it was very rainy that day. And I mean, that makes mm-hmm. sense. Like, you can just mm-hmm. visualize that. So after the half, they used 12 backup balls and they scored 28 of their 45 points after this, like in the second half. So these were the, you know, double checked full footballs and they still blew the Colts out of the water. So mm-hmm. it's debatable if that even had an impact on the outcome of the game at all.
Yeah. And I think that's for like a lot of Patriot fans. That's a really key, you know, argument on being like, oh, we're not cheaters, because when you score 28 out of the 45 points in the second half with the full footballs that were verified, like, okay, but like,
right. And the Colts only had 7 points for the whole game. So yeah, it's right. not like they had 28 and this would have been 28 right. and then, you know,
right.
they were never exactly. going to win anyway. So a Colts reporter by the name of Bob Kravitz tweeted that the NFL was going to investigate these deflated footballs. And actually the day before the game, an email from the Colts general manager attached a message from the equipment manager that read it in part, quote, "It is well known around the league that after the Patriots game balls are checked by the officials and brought out for the game usage, the ball boys for the Patriots will let out some of the air with a ball needle because their quarterback likes a smaller football so he can grip it better. It would be great if someone would be able to check the air in the game balls as the game goes on so they don't get an illegal advantage." Because so he sent this email before the game even happened, because allegedly something similar happened during a game the previous year with the Patriots. So they were already kind of like suspicious. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the Pats. Let's check their balls.
Yeah. Which makes sense why that Colts player might have thought to look into the ball or something mm-hmm. or like raise a flag, because I wonder if there were conversations in the locker room that were like, hey guys, we need to be alert on this topic, because I don't know if the person would just naturally think to bring it up.
Yeah. So Bill Belichick, the Patriots coach, denied any wrongdoing but agreed to cooperate with the investigation. So about a week later, John Madden thought it was possible that Tom Brady made a deal with somebody on the equipment staff and the coach had no idea. So they're saying like, well, Bill Belichick is in the clear, but you know, like he's not telling lies by saying that mm-hmm. there was no wrongdoing. He just didn't know it was happening.
Right.
And of course, John Madden is a Hall of Fame coach. He is, you know, famous for the Madden video games. So he has some prestige.
Mm-hmm. Yep. His words have weight.
Mm. The next day, Tom Brady said he didn't alter the ball at all at a conference. And then a few days later, the Arizona Super Bowl, the league had interviewed a Patriots locker room attendant who was allegedly caught on surveillance taking balls to a bathroom and left after 90 seconds. So they were kind of saying like, oh, what was going on here? Mm-hmm. But also the counter argument is it's like 11 balls in 90 seconds is.
Right. A lot. In a short amount of time. Yeah. At this exact quick,
right.
You know. And the thing too, is that the two PSIs or whatever, that was the one with the least amount. So there was a range, okay, really, of balls that had more air technically.
Yeah. So that's basically the season of that football season. But then it gets more complicated as time goes on and hearings happen and press conferences happen. But before we get into that, let's go hear a word from our sponsor.
Alrighty, so let's dive in a little bit further. Like, what was the aftermath? What did they uncover throughout this whole Deflategate situation? So there is a process for the footballs before every game, and the testing of these footballs before each game is actually quite thorough. I mean, they have a whole equipment team. Like, this is not like a joke. Like, these are people's professional careers who handle the football and other equipment and so on. And so the NFL has a rule where they must provide 12 balls for the refs to examine at least 2 hours and 15 minutes before a game, which one may argue, like, okay, but then you have 2 hours to like deflate it a little bit, which is, I guess, true, but there is a protocol at least in line, right? Is, yeah, kind of the point. And the home team must be able to provide a pump and bring backup balls, just ensure that essentially the game can run smoothly. So in the rule book, specifically, it says that the PSI can range between 12.5 to 13.5 PSI. If we look at the accusation about the Patriots ball, right? So let's say the 12.5 is the lowest. Their average was 11.49, so about one full PSI, with the lowest being 10.9. So again, like I was mentioning earlier, there's definitely a range, still below, but it wasn't like every single one of them was at this 10.9.
Gotcha.
So in the NFL, if the home team doesn't have the right equipment, then they can use the visitors. So people were making a bunch of different arguments for why it could be, why it couldn't be. Some argue that just when you follow the ideal gas law, there will be a decrease when there's colder temperatures and the ball will increase naturally because, again, like, just the law of gas in warmer conditions. So when you're playing in January in these cold weather climates, it might have just naturally gotten smaller, even though it was originally at its correct standard mark. And this was such a big deal that even aerospace engineers spent 3 months in a lab trying to find an explanation for like what may have happened. And they literally recreated everything from the locker room, the temperature. They imitated exactly what they saw on TV. So they're like doing the same plays and like, could this play have caused it to, you know, decrease, wiping the towels and adding water for rain. So they're going full out on trying to figure this out. I mean, again, 3 months.
Crazy.
So I don't know if I said 3 years. I think I meant to say 3 months, but essentially what they found, right? You're like, okay, amazing. Like, thank you for doing a thorough job. What are the conclusions? And they found that there was really no set of credible environmental or physical factors that caused the additional loss in air pressure. So it was kind of inconclusive, but also saying nothing naturally happened to cause it go down. So could there have been some tampering? And then other people do argue, okay, they're suggesting essentially like tampering, but the tests were done and hired through the NFL. So it's kind of conflicting or conflict of interest. Like, it wasn't really a third party who was doing it. This had become such a big news story, I think we have to remember. So we needed answers and we need to find something. So like, why not hire somebody? And you could probably, if we're going down the road, allegedly pay them off.
Yeah.
To say those things versus a third party.
So are you saying the NFL is against the Patriots?
I don't think they're necessarily against it. I just think this story became so big that they kind of needed an answer for the public to put blame on it.
Okay.
So like, they couldn't just let it go. Like, it, somebody needed to be blamed for it and needed to hold, you know, their, what's that, like the credit to it. So on May 6th, this is like well past the season has ended, there was a Wells report, and the Wells report was written by a criminal attorney that said Tom Brady knowingly knew that the ball was deflated. And it is interesting because there were a bunch of text messages between the equipment assistant, the locker room manager, between him, them and Tom. And so people are like, in this report, this attorney alleges that Tom was involved because it's like there's a lot of conversations that were happening, but mm-hmm. Tom Brady denied emails, phone calls, and texts to be reviewed. So this attorney Wells thought it was really suspicious, and that the really only thing he could find, because I think at minimum they can at least see who you're talking to, but not about what when you don't give up because of privacy and all that. They did see that Tom Brady had talked to John, who's the equipment assistant, in that the communication increased 6 times over 3 days after 6 months of not talking. So, and this was around the time of Deflategate. So they're like, why were you randomly talking to this equipment boy when you hadn't talked to him in 6 months around the time of this whole thing? And I think that's kind of what caused all the blame to go toward Tom Brady, because they used that as the evidence. So on May 11th, that was punishment day. So what is this? Like a few days after, about a little less than a week, they came up with the conclusion and they suspended Brady for 4 games without pay. And the Patriots were fined $1 million and they lost their first round pick in 2016 and their fourth round in 2017. But the Patriots rebutted the Wells report and saying that there really wasn't any strong evidence that Tom was connected to it, because in theory, yes, he was talking to him, but like the description or even the conversation of detail wasn't shared, so we really don't know. Like, he really could have been like, how's your family? So I don't know, it's just kind of crazy, like he was punished, but there really wasn't, if we look at it in the criminal law, like, was he guilty? What's the phrase, like, undeniably, or what's it? Yes, you're innocent proven until guilty, but you're not undeniably, but you get what I'm trying to say. There is something without beyond reasonable doubt.
Yes, that's it.
Yes. And so it kind of is low-key, I don't know, like, so I would kind of argue there is a little bit of doubt. But by the 19th of May, Robert Kraft, who owns the Patriots, just accepted the punishment and just moved forward with it. And then later in the summertime in July, according to the league, or on or shortly before March 6th, the day that Brady was to meet with Ted Wells and other investigators, Brady had his cell phone destroyed. And apparently Brady had used the phone for 4 months and sent nearly 10,000 text messages in that time. And none of the messages could be retrieved from the device, the league said. And interesting to note that Brady did not disclose until June 18th that his phone had been destroyed, almost 4 months after investigators had originally asked for the electronic information from Brady. So, a little sus. And then Roger Goodell, who is the commissioner of the NFL, he made an announcement about the ruling and essentially said, based on the Wells report and the evidence presented at the hearing, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, concluded in his decision that Brady was aware of and took steps to support the actions of other team employees to deflate games football below the levels. So basically, you're guilty. And in July, Brady decided not to take his court case to the Supreme Court and try to appeal it, which I'm pretty sure is, like, I'm not making this up, but he did say he didn't want to fight a bunch of billionaires. I mean, because really at that point, that's really who you're up against. So yeah, he could have appealed because this is America and you can do that. But he was like, okay, it's probably just a lost cause. Like, I'll just accept my fate. And I just thought it was interesting because I was learning about this on BuzzFeed, and I know, I get it. It's not the most incredible news source, and I 100% you can argue against it, but they did do a test on their video and they did a 10.9 PSI and a 12.5, and they're like, okay, let's do a test, like a blind test, which one is lower and which one's, and they couldn't tell. And I, like, when you hear the numbers, you think 10.9, okay, let's run it up to 11, like 12.5, it seems very, very big. Granted, I haven't done this experiment, so I cannot tell our listeners if that is true. But I also don't think BuzzFeed would have a reason to lie, especially once everything, it's like, he's already been in trouble. Like, he's already done the crime. So, like, what is the point? I don't really think Tom Brady hired them to prove that there wasn't a difference maker, but they really said they were like, we could not tell the difference. And in fact, they got the blind test wrong.
Wow.
So it's just like, how did they notice it? That's just like what I'm curious. If these guys are right, if we follow what they're saying and that is the truth, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. Like,
I kind of wonder though, if a professional athlete could tell the difference versus like random people from BuzzFeed, just like hand strength in general.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Like, you and I squeezing a football is very different than like a professional.
Yes, that is a good point. So we'll keep that in
mind. It's not like it's completely flat and then the other one is.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So here's a good question, Shannon. Where do you think your tinfoil is at? Your hat's at? So of course this whole scandal goes down, right? And people are talking about it like Brady's a cheater, blah, 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 blah. Could this have been a cover up or kind of like used as a scapegoat? Because at that time, the commissioner, again, Roger Goodell, was in the middle of a scandal with a player and his name is Ray Rice. So Ray Rice was suspended for 2 games for domestic violence, right? And people, I think, just kind of moved on from it. They're like, okay, whatever. But then footage was leaked of him beating his girlfriend and they were like, how could he have only gotten two games of suspension? This is crazy. This is not like, now that the public is in it and there's video footage, people were just couldn't believe it. So then that made Roger Goodell go into the hot seat because, you know, people thought that it should have been a harsher punishment. And if he had, people were wondering, did he have all of the facts when it was presented to him? Like, did he know of this video or did he know how badly this girl was getting beaten? But still made the call to only do 2 games. And then because of the whole thing with the public outcry, Roger Goodell admitted that it was a mistake when the public found out the footage, and the player was then suspended for 6 games technically, because he had already been sentenced to his punishment, like he couldn't really change it. But it did create a new rule where players who were found guilty of domestic violence would be suspended for 6 games for their first offense. And then I'm pretty sure they're like kicked out after if it's their second. So some argue, was this a distraction from Goodell? Because now the limelight is not on him for basically giving this guy like a very not harsh punishment. But let's focus now on this Deflategate.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm up in the air about this. I kind of think it happened, but I don't think it had an impact on the overall game because they were going to win anyway. So it's kind of like, who cares kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm sure if that was their thing that they were doing, they certainly stopped after this whole ordeal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's interesting that his phone was destroyed, and it makes me wonder, of course, like what was on that phone, and even potentially things that like unrelated to this at all. Like, was there stuff, say he didn't do the Deflategate, there was clearly stuff on his phone that he didn't want people to see. So it's like, what you doing, Tom?
yeah
What about you?
I do think it's a little suspicious with the conversation, but I don't, here's my thing. I don't think it was Tom Brady leading it. If this really is true, I think they just needed a person to like serve the punishment.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I think if I had to go down the road, yes, he did this on purpose. I don't think it was him per se. But I think overall, I don't think there, I don't know. Maybe there was a little, I don't know. Maybe a little, like I am a little up in the air. Because maybe they did try to, but it's such a small difference. I don't know. Maybe they thought they could get away with it. But it didn't really impact the game anyways. But long story short, I don't think he was the ringleader.
Okay.
If I had to say. Like, that's my tinfoil hat.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, when I was looking at the AFC champions, I was like, maybe these Colts players are just haters, because the Patriots had gone to the AFC in 2001, 2003, 2004, 2007, 2011, and 2014. And the Colts had only won it in 2006 and 2009. So like, maybe they were just over the Patriots dominating and needed something. Because sometimes that does happen. Like when you're at the top, people are so quick to tear you down.
Oh yeah, everybody hates the Pats.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, but if you're a Pats fan, it does have a happy ending, despite the fact that they suspended Tom Brady for 4 games. He came back and the Patriots went on to win the Super Bowl the final year, despite not having him. And it was quite a great game, because if you watch, I actually watched it in London, fun fact, they went against the Seattle Seahawks. And basically there was a game-winning interception that literally changed. Like if they had gotten the touchdown when they were 1 yard away and they had an incredible running back, they could have easily probably gotten the touchdown, but instead they threw the ball. And then that's when the defensive player like caught it and ended the game. They were so close to lose, so close. And the Seahawks were literally 1 yard away from winning the Super Bowl. But yeah, that happened. And it's just, people do say it's like one of the greatest plays, never mind like a Super Bowl play.
Yeah.
So he went on to win it. And let me tell you, I'm sure it felt really good for Tom Brady to get that trophy from Roger Goodell.
I'm sure.
You know, like after all that, and you're just like, hi, and you're like, I'm here.
Still got
I'm
the winner. It.
Yep. So that concludes our episode for Deflategate. Let us know, do you guys enjoy our sporty controversies? Because, you know, I do. So if you really do, you know, I can try to convince Shannon. But without further ado, we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.